Hi, I'm Al Criazzo from Catskill Mountain Housing. You're listening to WGXC, Agra, Catskill, and Hudson.
You can find out about so many local events, like the traditional Irish music session. Every Sunday, there's an open Irish music jam at the Shamrock House in East Durham from 2 to 5 p.m. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org. And add your own event to the WGXC community calendar and have it read on the radio at 90.7 FM by going to wgxc.org and clicking on the community calendar.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program, administered in Greene County by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC's sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support to Wave Farm's radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you. Wave Farm's WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Delmar Wellness Center of Alachua, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Welcome back to Ginger Radio Hour. This is Justin. You're listening live to WGXC Acra 90.7 FM. Today we're going to welcome spring back with a whole bunch of jazz. And an excerpt from a conversation I had with writer and gardener Mark Hamer, who has a brand new book called Spring Rain. But let's let Herbie Hancock start us all off here today. This, of course, is Watermelon Man. Enjoy. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Alice Coltrane, the track Blue Nile. Right before that, Makaia McCraven with The Fours from his latest album, In These Times. And we started off the show today with the inestimable Herbie Hancock, Watermelon Man from the epic album Headhunters. And here is Dinah Washington. We'll be right back. That was Cat Anderson on trumpet from Duke Ellington's 70th birthday concert from 1969, recorded live in England. And speaking of England, let's get to my interview today. I had the chance in late March to talk with Mark Hamer, who's a writer and gardener based in Wales. He's written a whole trilogy of books about the outdoors, about gardening, about his life, and about life in general. The latest is called Spring Rain, and it was just released in the U.S. and Canada today. It came out in England and Europe a bit ago. I've already read it. It's a tremendous book. It's called Spring Rain, A Life Lived in Gardens. It's described as a restorative memoir. And I think that's right. But it's really a book about making a garden and making a life. I've been a big fan of Mark Hamer for a long time. I think his books provide kind of a travelogue or they're even guidebooks for a life well lived. So I really enjoyed speaking with him, and I'm going to play an excerpt here in which we talk, of course, about gardening. But we also talk about love and forgiveness, and even forgiving the slugs. So let's dive in. This is Mark Hamer and I talking about his life and his new book, Spring Rain.
You know, we get down, you know, you're doing some weeding or some planting, and it's like, when I first started gardening, you have all these, you know, you have trowels and little garden forks and things like that. And then you work the soil and the soil becomes so beautiful and soft, you don't actually need those tools anymore. And I did get to the point where I'm just putting my hands and digging a hole with my hands. But it's that kind of the lovely smell and the feeling of it. It just feels connected, you know. And when you look at that soil, if you look at it under a microscope or something like that, it is actually thriving and alive. And there's so much living stuff going on in there, you know. And I'm not frightened of germs, you know. I've been a gardener for a long time, you know. I've got a gut full of germs. It's just a wonderful feeling of connectedness, really, getting right close to it. Even now I go into my own garden, I'll be walking through the earth barefoot and digging holes with my hands, you know. And just because it just feels really nice to be that connected. You know, it's like walking on the beach. You wouldn't dream of walking on the beach in hiking boots, you know. You'd take your shoes off and feel the sand in between your toes. And my soil is in a situation now where it just feels just as lovely and connected to do that, you know.
Yeah, I think you talk about it in terms of like the biome and your connectedness to it.
It feels very much like that.
It makes it smell it. I can almost smell your earth.
Yeah, it's a digestive process, isn't it? And the whole earth is digesting and recreating constantly, you know. And it's, you know, the leaves fall from the trees and they're getting digested by the bacteria in the earth, exactly the same as when I eat lettuce and it goes into my stomach. Different bacteria, but a very similar process, you know. So even the same gases are produced, you know. It's it just feels like it's me and I'm it, you know, with part of the same thing, you know, the same process. And it's just, it's just a wonderful, wonderful feeling to think, actually, I'm not separate from all this stuff. I'm not struggling to do things in this life. I'm actually part of this life, and the struggles are just natural things that happen, you know?
That is, I mean, you figure out a lot of different ways to say that in your book. But because you mentioned the beach and the sand under your feet, yeah. I have to say the image of the boy hugging / burying himself in the sand stuck with me.
Yeah, and I, you know, writing that book was actually quite difficult at times because I had to really trawl through things and all, but there were some events that just pop out, you know, try to remember your past and they're like pearls on a string, aren't they? There's some things that just jump out and I remember that and I remember that. Right, I don't remember how they were connected or what sequence they were in, but I remember that happening. So this whole book has got lots of things like that. And yeah, I remember doing that in Blackpool on the beach, and it was a deserted beach. And I was, you know, what would I have been? How old would I have been there? I suppose I might have been about 9 or 10 or something like that. And I was alone, and I was quite a solitary child, and I wanted to be a solitary child, really. And I just remember flinging myself down on it. And, you know, I think it was in quite an emotional state at that point as well, because we were moving on away from the seaside. And I just remember, I just loved it. I fell in love with it, and I just lay down on it and like armfuls of sand like that, you know, and just crawled into it and took armfuls of sand and lay on it and just hugged it. Yeah, absolutely. I just love that place. That beach is wonderful.
It's a beautiful.
And it's just that whole thought of moving on and letting go and losing things. As I was about to move, we moved around an awful lot when I was a child. You know, I was a bit of a gypsy, and we were constantly on the move. And I'd gone to a place that I really loved, and then was told that we were going to be moving off yet again, away from that place. And that was a time when I was actually becoming an individual as a child. You know, in early years as a child, you're part of your family and part of your mother and part of your parents. Then you get to a point where you realize that you're actually an individual with a life of your own, and you start doing things on your own rather than in the family home. So I had that freedom at that point. And I suppose it was a kind of awakening into a freedom, into a feeling that I was an individual person that had agency and choices, and my feelings had some validity, you know, and they were real feelings, you know. So yeah, it was, thinking back on it, it's probably a bit more emotional than it was when it actually happened. And you know, it just did it, you know. But yeah, I just flung myself on the sand and put my arms in it and gave it a big hug.
I'd like to ask you a question that is, it might be hard to answer, but I don't think so based on the way that you talk about this in your book, is just to talk a little bit about love and forgiveness.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they are perhaps some of the most important things. I think forgiveness is perhaps one of the most powerful things that you can do. Each morning, I don't actually physically wake up and think I forgive everything that happened yesterday, but it is part of my worldview that every morning I wake up, everything that happened previously is forgiven, and I start again completely afresh. You know, we all have kind of disagreements with our partners and things, you know, in life generally. And but I think actually we are all the same thing at the same time. We are like, I look at existence as being like a dolphin breaching the water. Okay. In my life, my whole life is a dolphin that has breached the water and has gone back in. Everybody else's life is exactly the same. Okay. So your life, you breach, you sparkle in the sunshine, crash, that's it. Your life's over. You're gone. Everybody else is exactly the same. We're all struggling with things. We all have our little successes. We all have our little failures. We all go through the same cycles of joy and sadness all the time. And we all do things wrong. We all make a mess all the time. We make a mess. We get things wrong. We say a stupid thing. We do a stupid thing. Oh, God, I wish I hadn't done that. So you have to forgive yourself, and you have to forgive the other people when they do them as well. You know, my partner does a stupid thing. I think he's a human being. Of course he does a stupid thing. I do it all the time. You know, everybody does. And I think I also think in another sense that we're all kind of expressions of the universe. There's one universe, and we are all expressions of that. We're all like flowers. I had a friend who was a Sikh once, and he said part of his religion is that we are all of us flowers in God's garden. Okay, all the different kinds of flowers, all of us, right? So we just all spring up and we all fall down again, you know. And I kind of like that. I loved that image, you know. Here we all are, we're all the same, and some of us are sort of dandelions and some of us are oak trees, but we're all going to fall down and we're all going to become compost again, and something else will grow. To hold grudges because somebody's done something stupid, or because I've done something stupid, and hold a grudge against myself and judge myself in a way that I wouldn't judge somebody I cared about, So I have to forgive myself as much as I forgive everybody else for the stupid things that I do. What's left when you do that, when you forgive, is just compassion. That's all that's left. It's compassion. I forgive you for doing that. You did a stupid thing. We're all fallible. I did a stupid thing. You have compassion for yourself and everybody. That's all that's left. Isn't there anything else? Once you've got rid of any anger or frustration or anything, that's what remains. So they're massively, massively important things to me. And I do think about them an awful lot and think, why am I hanging on to that? Why am I hanging on to that thing from 20 years ago, perhaps? Or why am I getting irritated by this person who is irritated by that thing, when it's obvious that that thing is whatever it is, and you don't need to be irritated? Instead of trying to say to them, you don't need to be irritated, you just forgive them for being irritated, because they're not at a stage in their life where they're able to sort that particular thing out. That will come to them. I'm not in a stage in my life where I can sort another particular thing out, you know? So we're all doing the same things, really. So it's important to me.
I can tell. It's important to me too. But I like that one of the things that you do in your books is that you keep coming around to that. So
yeah,
it's one thing to just say that. But I think you make sure that you connect all the different things in our lives or in your life to these ideas of forgiveness.
Absolutely, I do. I mean, it's like, even if I'm working in the garden and there are slugs that have eaten my plants, you know, I can't be angry with the slugs. I'm not going to go out and deliberately poison all these animals because they've eaten some leaves off my dahlias. I don't have dahlias anymore, but when I did, I'm not going to do that. You know, I'm just going to grow some more dahlias so they can have some leaves. You know, this is a cycle of stuff that's all going on, you know, and it has to go on. And it's not for me to go and stop that, try and stop that, because you can't stop any parts of this cycle. All you can do is get frustrated at your battles trying to stop these parts of this cycle. You know, I'm just creating, if I try to stop the slugs eating my dahlia leaves, I'm just creating frustration for myself, because it's going to happen whatever I do. You know, so you've got to forgive the slugs.
Forgive the slugs. Spring is here. We're all flowers. And all is forgiven. That was gardener, artist, and writer Mark Hamer. The new book is Spring Rain. I had the chance to talk to Mark for almost an hour over Zoom. I was here in the Catskills. He was in Cardiff, Wales, in his home. And I felt like I connected with Mark, so much so that I asked him to do an experiment with me. So here's a little bit of that.
One last quick thing, which I've never done with somebody, but I've been meaning to for a while. I wonder if we could be silent together for a moment.
Okay.
I have this theory that maybe the silence that we, you and I, can share today will sound totally different than the silence that I'll share with somebody else tomorrow.
Well, I think we've just had a conversation, and there will be resonances for both of us about that conversation. Your conversation with somebody else will have different set of resonances. But I expect you're probably quite correct. Yeah, that it will feel very different. Yeah. Isn't it funny how suddenly our voices have gone slower and softer? Isn't that strange?
Take two. see the Mardi Gras. If you go to New Orleans, you ought to go see the Mardi Gras. When you see the Mardi Gras, somebody'll tell you what's carnival for. Get your ticket in your hand, you wanna go to New Orleans. Get your ticket in your hand, you wanna go to New Orleans. You know when you get to New Orleans, somebody'll show you the Zulu King. You will see the Zulu King down on St. Claude and Dumas. You know you see the Zulu King down on St. Claude and Dumas. And if you stay right there, I'm sure you'll see the Zulu Queen.
Salvinas, 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 Salvinas. Salvinas, Salvinas, the name of the song. Salvinas, Salvinas. Thank you.
Quintet, featuring Dizzy Gillespie, Charlie Parker, Bud Powell, Charles Mingus, and Max Roach. The tune Salt Peanuts Live from Massey Hall in Toronto, 1953. Hard to believe that was 70 years ago. Before the quintet, Professor Longhair with the track Go to the Mardi Gras. Spring is the theme today. I want to thank Mark Hamer for taking the time to speak with me. Go find his book. It's out today. It's called Spring Rain, A Life Lived in Gardens. And if you woke up today and looked out into the yard and saw the robins and the birds and maybe a little bit of green, some shoots, Mark's book will help you do the work out there. Dig the holes, feel the soil, walk around barefoot. But also, Spring Rain has a great a list of shade plants, which are perfect for my garden. I don't know about yours. But again, thank you to Mark Hamer. I respect the preaching of love and forgiveness. You've been listening to Ginger Radio Hour. The show is live the first and third Tuesday of every month. Those are the two best hours of my month. So thanks for joining me. If you want to see the full set list playlist today, you can go to Tumblr. Just look for Ginger Radio Hour. All the shows and their playlists are there. And of course, you can go to WGXC.org. Check it out. What are we going to finish with? How about some Cannonball and Coltrane? Here's the sleeper. Happy spring, all.